Good morning. Thank you so much. Good morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Ali, our legal director. So the day is filled with tremendous information. I'm going to speak for just a little while on a subject that is, you've been hearing a lot about, which is informed consent, right? This is the subject on everyone's mind today. Are we having informed consent? We're talking, of course, about the vaccines, but it could be anything. I always like to start with the fact AFL-DS is not anti-vax. That's a pejorative. It's an insult to say that to somebody. It certainly has no application to me in my life. I want to state publicly for the record, as I've stated many times, I've received all vaccines that I was ever required to do or suggested to do in my life. I really didn't think about the vaccine issue very much. 2020 came. What's going on with the COVID-19 shots is an entirely different beast. But again, to portray AFL-DS as anti-vax is a pejorative, it's a slur, it has no relevance. Our issue is following the law. People know that I'm an emergency physician. That part's obvious. What's less obvious is that I'm also a Stanford University educated attorney. And so when 2020 came, I was just alarmed at the not so much the medical issue, but the legal crisis. There's an enormous legal crisis. And I cannot believe 18 months later that the legal crisis has gotten worse. I never would have imagined this. We are facing a catastrophe of enormous proportions. I see the threat to the constitutional republic everywhere. They're tearing down our constitution. I'm going to spend a little bit of time explaining the issue that's foundational for why AFL-DS is speaking out on the vaccine issue. Again, we don't see it as a vaccine issue. We see it as a civil rights issue, as a constitutional issue. You are required, or all people are required under American law and international law to receive informed consent for any medical procedure. This is an outgrowth of the Nuremberg Code. As you recall, Nuremberg trials were held after World War II and the Nazi era. This is really what brought the Nazi era to a close. What happened under Nazi doctors and scientists was horrific. They did medical experimentation on human beings without their consent. People said they could never allow this to happen again, and they developed a code after the Nuremberg trials. At those Nuremberg trials, doctors were hanged for their crimes against humanity, murdering people. And what came out of that that was positive was the Nuremberg Code. The Nuremberg Code became a foundational document that was used all over the world. Later on, it was endorsed by another thing called the Helsinki Declaration. These became part of American law. So we don't use like the Nuremberg Code as our law, but it became part of federal statute, and all states as well have a version that's very similar, and all nations, or virtually all nations across the world, use some version of it. That's why you'll hear people talk about the Nuremberg Code, because our federal statutes and state statutes really heavily rely on it. So what does the Nuremberg Code say? The Nuremberg Code is heavy on the concept of informed consent. Informed consent is the foundation of anything that happens in the medical space. Prior to 2020, as a physician, I often did informed consent with patients. A patient would come into the emergency department, they had a broken leg or a hip that needed a reduction because it was dislocated, and the first thing you did was explain what you needed to do to the patient and see if the patient agreed. By the way, not all the time did patients agree. Sometimes they were irrational. Mostly people were rational and agreed, but not always, and that was their right. Right? I've had many times, I once had a patient come in, they had a ring stuck on their finger, and the ring needed to come off. It was blocking the blood flow in their finger, and their finger was really eventually going to get gangrenous and fall off. He absolutely refused to let me take the ring off his finger. Didn't want to go through that pain. I'm like, you're going to lose your finger. I'm not going to do it. That's the person's right. My job as a doctor, by law, I am required to give informed consent. I am not required to take the ring off of his finger. I am required to tell him the risks and the benefits of what I offer him, and then he or she decides for themselves. That's American law, international law. That's what we were until 2020. Now, all of a sudden, we're in a situation where we have a new medical therapy, these shots, which, by the way, they're under investigational emergency use only at the moment, which gives that whole concept of like mandating it a whole other level of legal, illegality. But even if they were fully approved, it's still your right to agree or disagree. And it comes from Nuremberg. So the history of informed consent, came from Nuremberg, came from doctors doing the wrong thing. Now, The rule, I want to read to you. The Nuremberg Code has 10 provisions. The first provision talks about voluntary consent. It takes up the lion's share of the Nuremberg Code. And it starts like this. It says the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. Mind you, every word is chosen with care in legislation, right? There's not a lot of room. You can't write a whole book, right? You choose every word. Voluntary consent is absolutely essential. This means the person involved should have the legal capacity to give consent. Have you seen the videos of the people in Los Angeles who were intellectually disabled, who were being forcefully given shots against their will? Now, a lawyer, not a freedom lawyer, but another kind of lawyer, will say, well, their conservator gave consent. Really? It's an experimental, brand new thing. I would have gone back to the letter of the law, which is you have to have capacity. The person should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice. That means they're not being put under pressure. Without the intervention of any element, now listen to what they say, any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion, and should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved to enable him to make an understanding and enlightened decision. Why am I taking the time to read all this? Listen to how often they repeat the same concept. No element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or ulterior motive of constraint or coercion. Seven different ways they're trying to say you cannot coerce somebody. Obviously, threatening their employment falls into this category. They didn't say only if you have a gun to your head. They give seven different ways to say the same thing. And you're going to try to say that that doesn't cover an employment? So this is like the basis of our law. The next part says you have to have an understanding and enlightened decision. The doctors are talking today about how nobody is getting informed consent. Forget the force and the duress and coercion. We're not being told the facts because the facts are being suppressed. We have the VAERS data, which clearly shows death. And Joe Biden is on television saying that if you take the vaccine, you can't get COVID. I misspoke a little bit. He said, if you take the vaccine, you can't get COVID. And we have so much evidence of people who've taken the vaccine who've gotten COVID. So he could have had a slip of the tongue. He could have been confused. Whatever. My point is people are not getting, or he might believe it. People are not being given informed consent. I've actually never met anyone who's gotten informed consent. How do you know this? You can test this in your own life. Friends or family members of yours who've gotten the vaccine, just ask them, did you know it was experimental? I have yet to meet one person who actually knew that it was experimental. First of all, it's a thought that didn't occur to most people. But when it did, they go, oh, yeah, it's approved. No, it's not. So, like, that's the basis. Another basis, when you go into a doctor to get a procedure, they have to tell you the risks and the benefits. So if you have a hip problem and you go into the hip doctor and you're like, oh, I've got a hip problem, they start explaining the hip surgery to you. You're like, well, you can move this, you can move that, you have better flexibility and da-da-da, but the risks are the anesthesia and the surgeon and post-operative and all that. But then you say to the doctor, oh, you know what? My hip works really well. I can walk fine. What does the doctor say if they're ethical? Get out of the office. You're not supposed to be in line. You don't have a hip problem, right? There's a risk to something, but there's a benefit. What benefit is accruing to a young, healthy person? We heard from a doctor today who lives in Idaho. He said there's been zero deaths in his state of anyone under 18 from COVID. Zero, right? Per the CDC, there's 104 people under the age 17 who've died from COVID only. 104 out of 72 million in that age group. That's a statistical zero. You cannot be offering medical procedures with absolutely no possibility of benefit. So the doctors and the nurses must explain the risk and they must explain the benefit. And nobody is getting that, partly because the information on the risk is being suppressed and partly because the information on the benefit is being suppressed as well. This is our problem. I'm here to tell everybody who's listening that doctors and nurses by law are not allowed to delegate their responsibility to give true informed consent. It's on you as a doctor. It's on you as a nurse. You cannot say, oh, it's written on this piece of paper, which, by the way, is written by the drug manufacturing company. The doctor and the nurse have a non-delegatable duty to provide informed consent, and it's widespread not happening. Because it's widespread does not mean it's illegal. I hope this has cleared up a little bit of why we at America's Frontline Doctors are so focused on the illegality of these shots. We don't believe anyone is receiving informed consent. We feel that they're being pressured, coercion, duress, et cetera, which is against the law. And we feel like the risks and benefits have not been analyzed. Thank you.